good morning, KINS News and Information Time. Hello, it's 8:15. We're starting off with Mike Downey this morning. It's Tuesday, Cinco de Mayo. It's also...
What does that mean, starting off with?
Well, okay, and ending with.
Sounds like you're setting me up.
No, it's... today was the day we had the formal... the license arrived for purchasing the radio stations in Brookings.
Oh.
It was 050505.
Oh, good.
So it's easy to remember. Yeah, if I was smart, I would have celebrated with a burrito or something, but nah, I didn't do that.
That's good for you. Easy to remember.
Yeah, yeah. And if you write it in big print, I even have a better shot at it. Oh, let's see. Oh, I didn't know that's... Do you know who wrote the quote, "Fools rush in where angels fear to tread"?
I've heard it, but I don't...
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Alexander Pope.
I'll be there.
In 1700. Huh. Isn't that a song lyric now or something?
Probably.
Yeah. Or at least the impression is. Okay. So we'll use that one today.
Okay. You got plenty of them to use.
Yeah. So what has been the repercussions with some of the activity that the city of Eureka has been doing with the enforcement of the squatters and the new approach? And do you see almost a ratio?
Well,
if they do, we get, and if we do, they get.
I think it's too early to tell. Obviously we had limited exposure on that issue. We did end up booking a few folks in our facility. We were prepared to accept any animals that may have been associated with the campers there. We didn't get any, so it was no impact on animal control, and zero, correct. And so the impact to us at this point is unknown. I think there'll be some impacts down the road, but we'll wait and see.
As you look at the areas that your department has, Mike, and that the cities have, and then you've got that gray area, I believe is kind of what the official phrase is for sphere of influence.
Mm-hmm.
I think for law enforcement, it's that drawn hard line in the middle of the road.
Right.
Where with retail, it might be another mile and a half, or some, it seems like it's defined differently based on the moment. What are you anticipating with what Eureka is doing? And let's say Arcata follows or Fortuna follows similar ordinances that get people moving. Do you think that they're going to stay in the county? Do you think that they're going to end up in the county, the unincorporateds?
Well, I don't know. You know, I mean, the county is talking about a panhandling ordinance itself. With that comes enforcement expectations. I look back to the South Spit a number of years ago, which was obviously in sheriff's jurisdiction. It took us years to clean that particular issue up, but did we transfer it? You know, we still have problems in Redway, Garville. We have the camp behind Bayshore Mall. It was just cleaned up this week. And did we transfer some of those issues out to those areas? And we cleaned that up years ago, and it's just a culmination of that. Now, I think it's, we just talked a few minutes ago about people walking the street. There are more people walking along the street.
It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Sheriff Mike Downey. Mike, the South Spit, it's been interesting for me. Our two news guys weren't here then.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose probably a third of the population wasn't here then. Right. Either they weren't born.
Right.
Okay. Or they weren't here at that point. When you think back to the South Spit,
I'd rather not, but okay.
Yeah, okay. What were the circumstances that allowed that to start? And are those same circumstances existing now in other portions of the county?
Well, I think, you know, especially the South Spit, you know, I can remember when I was a young deputy sheriff going out there, and there was a long-standing group of people that would come out every year in the summertime to fish and to camp, that would come from inland areas to get away from the heat, and they would enjoy summers there.
Kind of like Freshwater Lagoon.
Yeah, sure. And what happened over time is more and more people that didn't have that same vent on the area began to move in, and it kind of escalated to a point that it became where those families that used to go there stopped going there, and it became a very scary place. I can remember going to calls for service out there in the middle of the night, whether it be a fire or a medical call or shots fired, and you'd be out there in the middle of the night, and you'd have all these folks in different parts of the dune area behind bushes and these tents and these structures that they built, and you didn't know what was going to happen next. It was a pretty concerning area for law enforcement to go into, and that necessitated obviously going in and cleaning it up, because those that try to go there and enjoy it in a recreational event, they stopped going there. They couldn't go there.
Well, my recollection of the South Spit, and this goes way back and maybe reinforced with family pictures, is before the bridge was built across the bay, so what's that, 71, 72, that was where Eureka went.
Uh-huh.
And the North Spit was where Arcata McKinleyville went. Right. So that was far more utilized at that point in time.
Yes, and now it's much more controlled. It's, you know, it's still not a place that people can go and spend the night at the camp, but they can surely go there during the day and enjoy it. And you know, BLM has done a good job with that. But you see these areas that were historically areas of recreation are have been shrunk down to where there's much less now. Now, not saying behind the Bayshore Mall was ever a recreational area.
No, but through regulation and some of the changes that the state and the feds have put in,
right?
Certainly, use has changed. I can't tell you the last time there was a quad or a motorcycle out there that wasn't on the pavement,
right?
And that used to be part of the activity out there as well as the fishing,
right?
So why the South Spit? Was it because it was literally at the end of the road? Is that where it started to stick?
Right. It was more isolated. It was not an area where law enforcement commonly patrolled, because it called for service throughout the county. It's kind of hard to justify driving out, you know, 4 or 5 miles at the end of the South Spit and only one way in, one way out type of a thing. So it was an area that was overlooked, in a sense, because of its remoteness. And then it became a complaint-driven issue, and an issue that built to the point we had to do something.
Is there a likelihood that there is going to be a repeat of that somewhere else in the county? And I know Southern Humboldt's got their issues, but it's not at the end of the road. It's kind of down on the river. It's just over the edge of the road, that kind of stuff. But it's not as formalized. I mean, it was basically a functional town or dysfunctional town.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're definitely on the lookout for that. We're keeping our eyes open on the areas that commonly became overflow spots from the Devil's Playground, let's say. We're concerned about that. We're trying to make sure that an encampment doesn't get started of that gravity, of that, you know, size, so that we can you know, be able to respond quickly and deal with that. You know, the biggest thing is private property owners need to be aware of what's going on their property too, and letting us know and giving us permission if they have people there that are trespassing, that we can go in and deal with that issue.
Is that normal protocol? If I see something, give you a buzz? Because, you know, I would think most of them are growers. Well, if it's out, you know, a single grower, a grow is significantly different, I would think, than having 7 or 8 campers or 10 or 12 campers or 15 tents. I mean, you know, all of a sudden, now you're talking about a major issue rather than just a grow.
Well, you know, I think what you're going to find is if the encampments like that get started again, it's going to be somewhere where they can get quickly to commerce of some kind, you know, near a town where they can get to stores. Now, that was different with the South Spit, but people were trucking things into folks there. And that's not saying it couldn't happen again, but you notice the proximity of the encampment behind the Bayshore Mall was next to services that they could easily access. I think that's probably the first place we're going to have to be aware of, is where those places are that are easy access to services that they might need.
Are you a fan of consolidation of the services or spreading them out and decentralizing?
Consolidation in which way?
A single location. County versus every city, every community has got something.
I don't know, because I wouldn't say I'm not in favor of it, but there's always that enforcement component, you know, and how does that look? Is that a code enforcement component? Is that a non-law enforcement component that has authority over certain codes that are or ordinances within the cities and counties? Or is it a law enforcement issue? And if it is, if it comes down to being a law enforcement issue, there has to be a funding source to pay for those services.
KINS, News and Information Times, 8:30. We'll be back with more from Mike Downey.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humboldt County Sheriff Mike Downey. Talk Shop presented by REDEC and by CDH Painting. Mike, looking at some of the different challenges that are out there, homeless, vagrancy, squatting, whatever you want to call it, hanging out on the sidewalks in some communities. It's funny for me, funny, and you get out more than I do, that not only do we see this as normal, we see this as something that is endemic in every community.
Yeah. To this extent? It depends. It depends on the community itself. You know, I'm on the board of directors for the State Sheriff's Association. I deal with the other 57 sheriffs on a regular basis, and most sheriffs are having the same issues in their counties as far as the homeless issue, the vagrancy issue, that type of thing. Some areas are in better shape than others. You talk to Sheriff Doyle out of Marin County. They don't seem to have the problems that other counties do. You talk to some counties, it's just as bad as we have it or worse. So it just depends on the folks that live there, the residents that live there, and I wouldn't say what's acceptable by the community, because no community wants that. It just depends on.
Well, there's different tolerance levels.
Well, there is. It depends on the economic status, and a lot of those things that play into it is how is the general overall lookout of that community as we go forward.
So Marin County, hardly any.
I would say so. Talking to Sheriff Doyle, I mean, he tells me the sun's always shining in Marin County.
Yeah, we hear that one from Regan also.
Yeah.
Yeah, and other residents of Fortuna.
Yeah.
Yeah, grain of salt.
But you don't hear, you know, from those kind of counties, more affluent counties, and I would put Marin there as having big issues.
Are the rural counties more apt? It's the Siskiyous and...
Well, that depends. It depends on a lot of things. It could depend on weather issues. It depends on how remote it is. I mean, some of these counties are very... Like, let's just take Modoc County, for example. I can't necessarily speak for the sheriff there as to how bad their issues are, but Sheriff Poindexter doesn't talk about that type of thing. But it's a very remote county. There's not a lot of population there, and it's a big county. Siskiyou County, I'm sure they have some issues. You know, Sheriff Lopey shared things with me in the past, but weather is kind of adverse, and services are not as as well as they are here. So I think it has a lot to do with services too.
That's I was thinking with some of these smaller communities, they're under the same state dictates, aren't they, that Humboldt is?
Yes.
So I'm curious why some of the other more scenic rural counties don't have the same activity level we have, unless it's the drug culture also. You know, we do stand alone with Mendocino.
I think that's some of it, but also you got to remember some of these counties I just mentioned, especially Siskiyou County, and let's talk about our neighboring county, Trinity County. A lot of federal land, federally owned land, via through a Forest Service or national parks, that type of thing. So there's a heightened awareness of those types of things starting on those federal lands, and they seem to have the ability to keep those clearer than we do on private property here, because a lot of our homeless issues, they end up on private property. And sometimes there are large pieces of private property that the owner of the property is not even aware it's going on until sometime later.
Well, with that line of thought, wouldn't Delnard County be immune with a huge percentage of their land mass that's state and federally owned?
I wouldn't say immune, but they I don't spend that much time in Crescent City. I was up there a while back and interacted with Sheriff Apperson on some things. And as I was driving through Crescent City, I said to him, I said, man, I don't see quite the homeless issue here as I see in Eureka. And he says, well, it's still a bit early in the morning. People will be out. And I said, okay. But I drove through later on in the day, and I didn't quite see the impact there that I see here at times. So I can't really say for sure about Delnard County, what they're experiencing.
I guess the thing that kind of gets me going is when folks reference our situation in Humboldt and Delnard counties and go, but everybody has it. It's almost like a pat on the head and an easy dismissal that, well, everybody's having to deal with this, Brian. Take it easy. Don't get too excited. But when it's tearing up your town, and mm-hmm. tearing up your county
right.
and your communities, it's really, not getting excited is what got us to this point.
Yeah. You're not going to like me saying this, but yeah.
You're far enough away, you can't tap me on the head. No, I'm okay.
But to what extent, I can't speak for every county, but everyone experiences some level of it. Cities, counties, municipalities.
And always has.
And always has. But it seems to be becoming a real hot button in our county, especially in Eureka. The business owners and people like that have come together to try and work on solutions, which I give them kudos for. I think that's great. But it's just not the city of Eureka. It's a countywide issue. And it impacts all the whole county, not just certain portions of it.
That's why I'm surprised that Eureka put the anti-panhandling, which is part of the process, in place and didn't have communication with the county, or the county wasn't at the spot where they wanted to implement the same thing at the same time. Why not have a unified
right.
approach rather than a little here, a little there, and the timing and uncoordinated?
Well, I think it was all part of the overall structure as we entered into this period of cleaning out the marsh area. I think that was part of it. Again, the Board of Supervisors have been talking about a panhandling ordinance, but as we talked earlier just between us, there's an enforcement component that follows that. And one of the things that people believe that once that ordinance is in place, we have instant enforcement. It's not quite that transparent.
You'd have to have measure X, Y, and Z money.
Yeah, probably. I mean, but it is a good enforcement tool for law enforcement. But it is another one of those tools in our toolbox that we're able to utilize to deal with problem areas and problem issues.
KINS, News and Information Times, 8:43. We'll be back with more from Mike Downey.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with Mike Downey. So, Mike, other than talking about things that are outside of your jurisdiction, what are you guys doing these days?
Well, you know, I just today I was listening to the news. You know, my Southern Humboldt sergeant puts out the most wanted down there in the Southern Humboldt area, Garville Redway. And I think we just over the last 24 hours arrested four people off that most wanted list being put out. You know, I think that's a good sign of what we're able to do with increased staffing levels and being able to be a little more innovative. You know, Measure Z has helped out immensely with that, and we continue to look for innovative ways to do targeted enforcement in areas. Same thing in Hoopaw Willow Creek area. You know, we put together teams to go out and deal with issues they're having within the community. We've made numerous arrests in the last couple of months, people with outstanding warrants and that type of thing, and getting them out of those communities and in front of the court system to deal with longstanding warrant issues.
Driven by the community complaints or driven by the fact you've got additional officers that are able to be proactive rather than reactive?
A little bit of both. A lot of community involvement. Like the most wanted issue we put out there in Southern Humboldt, those are calls from the community saying, hey, I just saw this individual, such and such, or over here. And so that helps us out quite a bit. But community complaints, yes, we'll get a complaint from a community. Now that we're getting healthier and able to do it, if I get a complaint from a community of an ongoing issue, then I'll authorize the overtime to put groups of deputies together to go out and deal with those. And we have been doing that quite a bit in the Hoopaw Willow Creek area as of late, and we're going to continue to take that type of a stance.
So I'd like to say stay busy, but I think you're going to take care of that one all by yourself.
Oh, there's plenty to do.
Yeah, imagine that. Thanks for coming by, though.
Thank you.
Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day, hug someone you love, see you then.